Hello, it's time for At the Table with Gail. At the Table with Gail is an adaptation for radio of the TV series Downton Abbey, an adaptation so loose as to be unrecognisable, and the radio version all takes place below stairs in the kitchen. The part of the formidable but lovable Mrs. Packman is played by Gail Hall, and the part of the downtrodden, overworked Daisy is played by me, Peter Fleming.
Okay.
Hello, Gail.
Hello, Peter. Oh, shall I call you Daisy in future?
No,
definitely not. Well, do you want to know what we're making this week, Peter?
I do. Any reports have you got that you've got?
Well, I have got a report, but we'll fly through what we're going to do. And that is Ribollita is a soup. And basically, we're going to do this because it is a very, very good soup for keeping in the oven because the flavours actually meld in together once it's kept. Then we're moving on to remember the green goddess soup that we had. Well, this is green goddess frittata. And I thought, well, that's the only reason why I chose it, because the green goddess soup was fabulous. And let's see if this one can follow suit. And then we're going to do baked tamarillos with cinnamon, honey and yogurt. And I think tamarillos are currently in the market, so I'm not sure.
I hope so. I did see them.
And banana brittle upside down cake. And I thought, oh, that looked lovely in the illustration. So those are our four today.
Right, okay, jolly good. Sounds nice to me.
And I've gone to report that I actually made the easy plum pudding, which remember that the listeners, I told them it's not a steamed one, it's actually a made one. And I made it today, and I've brought a piece in for people to try. And but I must admit, when I walked out and went to have a look at the canned plums, I was really taken aback. $7.50. And I thought, they had a similar jar of cherries next door for half the price. So I did actually buy the plums because I thought, well, that's the recipe I gave out. But look, I think the cherries would work just as well. And I had to cut them in half anyway and get the pips out. And there's an awful lot of juice in which, well, I think I'm probably put on plain yogurt over the next week anyway. But it really was easy. And when I was mixing it, I thought, did I forget the butter? And then I realised it had cream in it. And basically, that substituted for the butter. But really quite easy. And it looked quite impressive. I've sent a picture to go on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And it does look very, very nice. It looks great. And so I've swapped that with Peter for a lovely scone.
Well, I said last week I wanted to try this. Compare scones made with either self-raising flour or plain flour with baking powder, because it's just intrigued me a little bit. I was going to make them both so we could test them side by side. But I've just done this morning, I just did the plain flour with baking powder. And now I make mine as a big round one and then cut them up afterwards. So it took a lot more cooking than forecast. But I think it's all right.
Can I ask you, what was the ratio?
I use 2 cups of flour, I think, and 2 teaspoonfuls.
A teaspoon a cup?
Yes.
That's about average, about what I would use too.
But I'd read somewhere that you need some acid to get the baking powder going. A bit of vinegar or
like vitamin
juice.
C.
Well, it's just the acid to make it fizz. The recipe didn't call for it, but I'm very tempted now to try it.
Oh.
Like the other thing that tip I picked up, which I don't know if it helped us, freeze the butter.
Oh, so you can rub
and
it in.
And then grate it.
Yeah, grate it. Yeah, good idea.
I froze it overnight and then grated it in. So it rubs in fairly well.
Oh, good.
Because I'm a fairly casual cook, you see.
We're both fairly casual cooks, aren't we, really?
Like to be like lots of people.
We haven't got monogrammed aprons or anything like that.
Not yet, we haven't. I keep waiting for you to bring me one in. But, Anyway, yes, I was pleased with it. It's turned out all
well,
right.
Well, it's a nice size.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
So how many did you get out of your round? You would have got about seven or...
Cut it into six.
Oh, six, yeah. No, good size.
Pretty big.
Oh, that's all right. No, yeah. Well, I like something with, you know, something decent when I'm having a cup of coffee later in the day.
Well, if I get time during the day, I'm going to have another, I will have a go at basically the same recipe, yeah, but with self-raising flour. Mm. And I'm also now a bit intrigued by this acid thing.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by it too, because I've never used that for scone making.
Three options.
Never.
So watch this space.
Watch the space. Well, we're going to watch this space now at this very moment. And as I said, this is Ribollita, which has got Tuscan oranges. So you can imagine maybe there's quite a bit of tomato or something in this recipe, which there is. So we're going to look at 60 mils or a quarter of a cup of olive oil, one large onion or two small leeks chopped, one large carrot chopped, one small head of fennel or two celery stalks chopped, four garlic cloves finely sliced, two teaspoons of fennel seeds, four sprigs of thyme, two tablespoons of tomato paste, 2 by 400 gram cans of tomatoes. Now, the smaller you get, I think that might be better. It does say cherry tomatoes, but I just sort of think tomatoes, you know, let's
you get,
just look at
get
it
them
that
chopped,
way.
Don't you?
Exactly. Mm. 1.25 litres, which equates to about 5 cups of chicken stock, one large piece of Parmesan rind. Now, we've had a recipe before with this rind in, which I never usually buy the whole block, solid block. I usually, you know, sort of buy the already grated. 4 stalks of kale, leaves removed and roughly chopped into small pieces. 1 400-gram can of cannellini or butter beans, rinsed and drained. I've got to admit, I know that you've said you've watched because you've emailed me and said, we're sitting here watching Jamie Oliver eating our pancakes when you, you know, ate the pancakes. Well, anyway, I just happen to watch Jamie Oliver and I don't watch him on a regular basis, but he was making a soup. And this was interesting to me because I sort of thought, oh, I'm not going to, you know, I won't be making this soup. But he put in bread. He put a sourdough, half a sourdough bread, in the final sort of cooking part of his soup. And then when I read this recipe, 100 grams, about 2 slightly heaped cups of day-old rustic bread torn into small pieces. And I thought, oh, I'm having this recipe. That's what Jamie Oliver did. And he reckoned it made it absolutely beautifully smooth, so and creamy and everything. So I just thought I have to go with that. Extra virgin oil at the end and grated Parmesan to serve. Heat the olive oil in a large saucepan over a medium heat. Add the onion, carrot, fennel, garlic, fennel seeds and thyme. Cook, stirring often for 10 minutes or until the vegetables are very soft. Add the tomato paste and stir for 1 minute. Then add the tomatoes, stock and Parmesan rind. If you are using it, bring to a simmer, then cook, stirring occasionally for 5 minutes to allow the flavours to develop. Stir in the kale, cannellini beans and bread. Bring to a simmer, then cook for 6 to 7 minutes or until the kale is tender and the bread is very soft and starting to break down. Taste, then season with sea salt, freshly ground black pepper, remove the thyme and that rind, and divide among large warmed bowls and top each with grated Parmesan and a drizzle of olive oil and serve. How does that sound?
Actually, it sounds quite good to me. What I picked up on at the beginning when you went through the list of ingredients, oh, she showed me a picture and, oh, it looks quite solid, isn't it?
It is quite solid. Mm. Quite a solid. That's why when I looked at it, I thought, that's not a soup. But then I read on.
Yeah, I quite agree. You wouldn't think it was a soup. So, look, going back to the third item, fourth item,
yes.
You said one small head of fennel,
yes,
or two celery stalks.
Mm.
Seems to me to be an incredible difference in taste there.
Well, I don't eat a lot of fennel, so I really don't know. But I saw that too, and I thought, well. And plus it's got fennel seeds in it as well.
Yeah, fennel's quite strong, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
I'm the same
we had a salad here. was it one of our sessions last week or the week before, where you said you could have this with a fennel salad?
Yes,
it did. And it was cut finely, and it wasn't cooked. So
I think I've only used it once, fennel, and that was about 40 years ago.
Oh,
and, about 30 years ago.
Oh.
And it did seem to be a strange. I was just a bit intrigued there because I bet there's a big difference in price between a head of fennel and two celery stalks.
Hmm. Yeah, well, quite different. Yeah, well, it'd be interesting.
Otherwise, no. And so this piece of Parmesan rind, you just take it out again then?
Yes, it doesn't stay in there. Well, nobody would want a big dollop of rind in their bowl, would they?
Remove the thyme and the Parmesan rind.
Mm. Yeah, that just, you know, gives it the flavour. I've when you buy your large cake of Parmesan, the rind you slicely... You know, when you cut your cheese off.
Yeah, we just leave it on there as you grate your way through it.
Yes.
And then at the end, probably cut it off, I suppose.
Oh, okay. All right, so you don't do anything with it?
No.
Oh, well, it might be handy to know that you can throw it into, you know, something.
Well, it is, isn't
just
it?
To give it that bit of extra flavour.
Get the most out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Gail, you mentioned on there about the pancakes and me sitting I emailed you.
Yes.
Last week I was sent home with a couple of the buckwheat, cottage cheese and buckwheat pancakes that Gail had made. She brought some in and took them home. And yeah, sure enough, warmed them up in the evening and had them with, well, we hadn't got any maple syrup, but I think I'd found some golden syrup. Mm,
just as good.
Golden syrup. And I think we found some ice cream as well.
I know. I think you said you had a bit of ice cream and syrup over the top.
And it just happened that Jamie Oliver was cooking away on the telly, and my wife and I sat there. Very nice. I just heated them up briefly in the microwave. So, yes, thumbs up to the cottage cheese and buckwheat.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yes. Well, they were quite substantial, I thought, because I just had to play around when I was baking them, you know, sort of to get the circle. I had a big tablespoon and I dolloped it in the frying pan, and then I tap, 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 tap till it spread a little bit. And then I thought that's big enough because I knew they were going to rise.
They were very nice.
Yeah. Thank you. Right. So we're going on to Green Goddess Frittata. Well, I know that we did do the Green Goddess, and I think we both benefited from that, didn't we?
That was delicious.
Yeah, you had some of that. And when I saw this, I thought, oh, well, this is interesting. But it's a very brief recipe, I suppose you could say. But it served quite a few people. And basically, I thought, this could be interesting to make. And it does look very green, and they've put it in a green plate. So there you are. Two bunches of asparagus, trimmed, cut into bite-sized pieces. Now, I know that it's not asparagus time at the moment. I know that. I'm pretty sure there's nothing in the shops. But it appealed to me because of the Green Goddess. And I thought, well, what's the diff? You could actually put some tin ones in.
They're not cheap. I'd sort of hark on about cost. You
no,
know,
we do need to hark on about cost, Peter.
We made something the other week and we needed some asparagus. And used to be a time we buy it bottled, in fact, dirt cheap. But
Okay. No. And I mean, we try to keep our recipes within the realms of budgets. But I must admit, when I saw that $7.50 for the plums, I balked at the price. And I thought, if I wasn't making this and I haven't given you the recipe, I wouldn't be buying them. But I thought, I'll stick with it. But please do. I think cherries next door would have been fine. But anyway, we're getting on with this. So basically, when asparagus does come into season, well, you'll be able to make this, you know, every week. 110 grams of potted peas. Now, same sort of thing. We can have them frozen or, out of a can as well. Although I'd rather have them frozen, I think, because the canned ones might be a bit squishy. 12 eggs. I know that sounds a lot, but you're going to feed a multitude. 2 teaspoons of water. 1/2 cup of coarsely chopped herbs, and they use tarragon and chives and flat leaf parsley. Now, this intrigued me, Peter. 8 courgette flowers. Now, they're optional. Stems on, halved lengthwise, but the stamens removed. Now, when you won't get these in the supermarket, of course, they don't sell them with the flowers on, but if you're a home grower, you will have the flowers. And I thought, when my zucchinis come to, to that size and they've got a flower on them, I'm going to try this because it intrigues me that you're just putting the flower on and no zucchini.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, why not? Yeah,
exactly. 1 tablespoon of olive oil and 150 grams of freshly grated Parmesan cheese. Oh, there we go, Parmesan cheese again. And now it says bread rolls to serve, or, of course, you can have, you know, a little bit of endive leaves and lemon wedges, aioli to serve. Now, preheat the oven to 200 degrees Celsius. Now, blanch the asparagus and peas if you're doing them fresh. But in our case, they're all ready to go. Whisk eggs with water until smooth. A lot of eggs, 12 eggs. Add the herbs and season and stir to combine. Now, of course, you're adding your blanched asparagus because it really is already cooked. And you're putting all that in with the egg mixture. Now, grease and line a sliced tin or a baking dish with baking paper. Place in an oven until hot. Now, that's without the mixture in it, okay? You're putting that in the oven, and when it's hot enough, drizzle the base with olive oil, spreading the asparagus and peas evenly through the pan. Top with halved courgette flowers, if you're using them, and the pour the egg mixture into the pan and bake for 18 to 20 minutes or until firm and cooked through. And set aside to cool, then cut into portions. Grate the Parmesan over the frittata and serve with a squeeze of lemon or in rolls with aioli. It sounds lovely. It really does. Simple, I thought, effective. And, yes, I think it's great. If you're not going to put in the flowers, I can't see why you can't put in some very thin strips of zucchini itself.
Yeah.
I think
they'd
have to be thin. You could do it with a mandolin or you could do it with, a nice sharp knife.
Oh, if you've got a mandolin.
Yeah, if you've got a mandolin, please use it. And you could use the zucchini, but they're saying just to use the flowers. I think it's quite a fancy thing.
Now, it's pretty straightforward. Yes, I was interested to see, although it's got 12 eggs in, it does serve 10 to 14
people. Well, it does.
People.
That's pretty good.
So you have to make it in the bath. But, but you puzzled me a little bit. You said whisk eggs with water until smooth, but you hadn't mentioned...
How much?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, 2 teaspoons.
Ah, right.
Not a lot. Sorry, Peter. I didn't add that to the actual ingredients, sorry. It might have been because it was so insignificant. But
well, if you did, I didn't hear you say it.
So. Yeah, 2 teaspoons
right,
of water.
Okay. Mm. All right, then. Well, yeah, pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And there's the illustration, and I think it looks lovely with the Parmesan, and it is very green.
Yeah, yeah.
Very green. And I consider that quite healthy.
Worth a go.
Worth a go. Definitely worth a go.
Now, we've reached that time. Well into that time in the programme, we'll play some music. And as everybody knows, another word for a frittata is an omelette.
Oh, is
isn't it?
It?
Well, it's a beaten egg. And
I'm
not quite sure what the difference is.
No. The frittata is actually quite a thick block. And whereas an omelette, I would have thought that it was a round slim. Thin slim.
Well, the only problem is that I could find an omelette song, but I couldn't find a frittata song. So you'll have to make do.
Oh, with frittata?
No, with omelette.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's fine.
It's a very simple song. Just put your feet up and just listen to it.
Oh, okay. Righto. Will do, Peter. Thank you.
We're all getting pumped up here in the kitchen, got it on when the pan is gonna be bitchin'. It's nothing hard or fancy like creme brulee, but breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Eggs in the bowl, crack 1, 2. Throw in some milk for a farm fresh brew. Pan greased, put it on the heat. Whip up those eggs, give them a sick beat. All getting pumped up here in the kitchen. Got an omelet in the pan, it's gonna be bitchin'. It's nothing hard or fancy like creme brulee, but breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Milk with some chocolate drizzle. Crap, eggs, back to the stove. Check on my delicious treasure trove. Going for the flip, and what do I see? My omelet has abandoned me. Look in the pan trying to pick up the dregs. We'll make scrambled eggs.
We're all getting pumped up here in the kitchen. Scrambled eggs in the pan and they're looking pretty bitchin'. They're nothing hard or fancy like creme brulee, but breakfast is the most important meal of the day. We're all getting pumped up here in the kitchen. Scrambled eggs in the pan and they're looking pretty bitchin'. They're nothing hard or fancy like creme brulee, but breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
There, I told you it wasn't anything particularly exciting, but unusual that somebody actually wrote a song all about an omelette.
Well, people write songs about all sorts of things that you seem to find to meld in with our session, Peter. But anyway, we're going to do baked tamarillos with cinnamon honey yogurt. Now, I love tamarillos, and I just thought this recipe was so simple, but yet delicious. So, with 4 large tamarillos or 6 smaller ones, 1/4 cup of vanilla sugar. What you're doing is putting together some cinnamon honey yogurt, 1/2 cup of plain yogurt, 1/2 cup of cream, 1 tablespoon of Manuka honey, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, and that's a mix to go on top once they're cooked. I'm pretty sure it's once they're cooked. Now, basically, we're heating the oven to 150 degrees Celsius, so very low oven. Cut tamarillos in half lengthways and lay them on a lined baking tray, cut side facing up. Mix the vanilla sugar with the orange zest and sprinkle it over the tamarillos. Simple, but it must be very effective and tasteful. Bake until fruit is cooked through and slightly shrinking around 20 minutes. Drizzle with their cooking juices because they will have some. So make sure you spoon that over and put that over the tamarillos. And then leave them on to cool on a tray. Now with the cinnamon, honey and yogurt, lightly whip the yogurt, the cream, honey and cinnamon together to form soft peaks. So you can do that with a whisker or you can put it in the machine. Serve the tamarillos at room temperature with the cinnamon, honey, yogurt, and maybe just a plain wafer, just sort of sitting on the side. Beautiful. And I liked this illustration at the top, Peter, because you can see just how lovely that does look. Very healthy and very nice.
Yeah, you got me totally beaten on tamarillos. I've not had a tamarillo. I wouldn't know one if I saw one.
Wouldn't you?
Although I think I've seen it. Well,
I think they've got the sort of lovely, like a maroni fruit, and they've usually got quite a sort of black stem on them, but they may take the stems off machine-wise. I'm not sure what.
Well, I'm going to have a look now. Because
beautiful. Absolutely lovely. And with the vanilla sugar, which I just really don't
right
know.
Right now, what... I've done that for you. I've looked
at
it. Okay. It's crafted by carefully blending finely ground premium vanilla beans and raw sugar. And you can get it, according to this, should be able to get it in the supermarkets.
Oh, wow. Well, that's interesting because they do sell vanilla beans, I think, in the supermarket. Not that I've ever bought any.
No.
But and grind them up and mix them with raw sugar.
It's all done. Huh? It's all, you buy this stuff.
Oh, you can buy it.
Oh, you buy it, sorry, yeah.
Oh,
you
right.
There's a packet in this.
Well, there you are.
Would appear.
You can buy that. So I've never heard the phrase. I would just sort of think, I thought, well, sugar's probably sweet enough, but yeah, but adding the vanilla bean, right, well, I've learned something today. So banana brittle upside down cake. Now, this is sort of like having a toffee at the bottom, but 2 cups of caster sugar, 1/3 cup of smooth peanut butter, 7 small bananas, whole and peeled. So that's those lovely pepino ones that you can actually get in the supermarket. But if there's none of those there, I'm not sure whether you'd get away with the bigger ones. You could do, depending on size of the cake. 125 grams of sour cream, 3/4 cup of vegetable oil, 3 eggs, 1/2 cup of ivory teff flour. Now, this amused me because I read this and I thought, oh, I'm not going to give that recipe if I don't know what teff flour is. So I just looked it up And I wanted to substitute because I've never heard of teff flour, to be quite honest. So I looked it up, and you know what? You could actually use buckwheat flour, which we used our pancakes with, as a substitute. So I was really pleased to find that out.
That's really good. Yeah, good. Nice, because otherwise, as you say, you get these recipes and you rush out and buy something special, and then the next time you see it is 5 years later at the back of the pantry.
Exactly right. So basically, and you're using only a half a cup. So then you're using a half a cup of gluten-free self-raising flour, half a cup of rice flour, half a cup of almond meal, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, and 2 tablespoons of honey, and a half a teaspoon of sea salt. So preheat the oven to 160 degrees Celsius. Grease a deep 20 centimeter round cake pan, which I made that cake in this morning. Line base and side with 2 layers of baking paper. Well, you can do that if you like. They say when you're making your Christmas cake, you know, always put 2 or 3 layers around. But I've never done that. I just make sure I've got a good layer around anyway. And place half a cup of the sugar. Now, I didn't tell you, but obviously we're going to make toffee, and 1/4 cup of water in a small saucepan. So put that 1/4 cup of water in your ingredients, because they never mentioned it. I have added it because when I read the method, it said about the water, and I thought, oh, they never gave us the water in the actual, the ingredients. So you're doing that and putting it in a small saucepan. Cook over a medium heat without stirring for 8 minutes or until a caramel colour. Now, that's making toffee as far as I'm concerned, and I haven't really made any of that for years. Remove from the heat. Add 1 tablespoon of peanut butter and stir until smooth. Working quickly, pour peanut caramel over the base of a lined pan, swirling to coat the base evenly. Halve 4 of the bananas lengthways and arrange over the caramel, cut side down, working from outside inwards, following the shape of the pan and trimming the bananas if necessary. Mash the remaining 3 bananas with a fork in a large bowl until smooth. Whisk in remaining 1.5 cups of sugar and 1/4 cup of peanut butter, followed by the sour cream, oil, and eggs. Sift over the flours, almond meal, and baking soda, then fold through the banana mixture until just combined. Pour batter over bananas in cake pan, leveling the surface. Bake the cake for 1 hour, 40 minutes, quite a long time, or until a skewer inserted comes out clean. Leave in the pan for 5 minutes before inverting on a wire rack to cool. Serve drizzled with honey and sprinkled with salt. Now, that looks lovely. You are only baking it at 160, so that might mean, you know, a lengthier time in the oven. Today's cake, it said to bake for, I think it was about 40 to 45 minutes. Well, I gave it about another 10 minutes because I just felt it was a bit wobbly in the middle. So it's a bit of a judgment call when I, you know, give out the timing and, you know, for the cooking and everything. Really, just keep an eye on it. But it does say an hour 40, and that because of the, you know, very low heat. But it looks lovely. Look at it, very dark.
It is very dark, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's toffee at the bottom.
Yeah.
So I suppose it'll sort of melt and go brittle once it cools on a rack. That's where we end.
And that's virtually bang on time, I think.
Oh, well, that's great. That's great. I'm not sure whether I'm putting my hand up for anything, but if there's tamarillos in the shop, I wouldn't mind actually trying those.
Yeah.
Nice and simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I should all be well turn up with a self-raising flour.
Oh, yes, another different type of scone.
My little experiment.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm intrigued about that.
The acid thing.
Yeah, I'm intrigued about that.
Well, we'll throw that into the
into the mix, yes. Okay.
Well, all right, Gail.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you very much. Bye for now.
Bye.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.